You know, when you think about bumping into somebody, just the very phrase implies that it's probably a coincidence, and that it's a lot of times it's memorable when you bump into somebody. Rustin's small enough that you can actually bump into people that you don't really care for occasionally, can't you? Yes? It's awkward, isn't it? Or that person maybe there's a strained relationship with, or they've been mean to you, and especially when it's after church, at their church and your church, and you meet the restaurant, you have to be, hey, it's awkward. Or that ex, you bump into that ex-boyfriend or that ex-girlfriend or that ex-spouse, and sometimes that can be awkward. Or you're married and you bump into your girlfriend, I'm just teasing, that would be awkward, wouldn't it? Are y'all listening? That'd be awkward. Sometimes it's good. I mean, you bump into that friend or that family member that you haven't seen in a while, and you know, it kind of makes your day, and you go home and you go, man, what a coincidence. I bumped into them, and how happy it was and good it was to see them and interact. We're starting a sermon series this morning from John chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. If not, it'll be on the screen. We're going to be in this series all of June and the 1st of July, John chapter 4, talking about bumping into Jesus. Now, here's the deal. When we bump into Jesus, it's intentional on His part. It's not an accident. And if we will let it, it will always be memorable. It'll always affect us and affect our lives. In fact, I want to tell you this morning, even today, right now, God is trying to bump into you. Did you know that? Jesus is trying to get your attention. He's trying to bump into you. Hopefully that you will have something happen in the next 30 minutes that can change your life, something that's memorable. And I want to begin the sermon and this series with a question. What do you have to do? What do you have to do? When I was growing up, the old folks said there's only two things in life you have to do. You have to die and you have to pay taxes. And the older I get, I think at least one of those is certainly true. You have to pay taxes. But what do you have to do? Now, I'm going to help you try to answer that in a few moments. But let's jump into our story. In John chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Although Jesus himself didn't baptize, his disciples did. So he left Judea and he returned to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria on the way. Now that's going to be our vocal point. If you're taking notes, it's always good to have a pen or paper to write things down. That little phrase, had to, is gigantic. It means that Jesus must do this. It was necessary by the nature of things that he do this. It's urgent. It's unavoidable. Let me repeat that. When it says Jesus had to go through Samaria, it meant he must do this. It was necessary. It was urgent. And it was unavoidable for him to do this. Now, you go, what's the big deal about Jesus going through Samaria? It's a gigantic deal. Let me give you the background here. Jesus is a Jew biologically and spiritually. The Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. And this hatred literally goes back 700 years. Now, think about that. America will be 241 years old on July the 4th. This hatred goes back about 700 years. 700 years earlier, before Jesus, the Jewish people, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom that was called Israel. The 10 tribes up there were the northern kingdom. The lower half, and they were enemies, this was a split, was Judah, and that was the two southern tribes of Jewish people. Well, in about 722, the Assyrians came in to the northern kingdom and conquered them. And when they did, they killed a bunch of people. They deported a bunch of people back to Assyria. They left some Jewish people there, but then they brought a bunch of Assyrians in to intermingle and intermarry with the Jewish people. And then they eventually brought a bunch of Jewish people back who had married Assyrians with Assyrian people, and the Jewish people and the Assyrian people all intermingled. Now, to you and me, you go, what's the big deal about that? To a Jewish people, that was a gigantic no-no. They were not supposed to marry anybody who wasn't Jewish. And what happened, they became, to the Jewish people, half-bred Jews. And they did compromise their religion in this, but their biology has probably bothered the Jewish people as much as anything else. Now, the southern kingdom was eventually conquered by the Babylonians, but these people maintained their racial and their spiritual purity, largely. And so for hundreds of years now, the Jewish people looked at the Samaritans and they said, you're half-breed Jews, you're traitors, you don't worship the real God, you're not pure like we are. And folks, if someone looks at you like that, it's real hard to love them back, isn't it? So the hatred was mutual. So it says Jesus has to go through Samaria. Let me show you a map now. We're in Jesus' day, and this is Palestine in Jesus' day. Here's Judea, there's Jerusalem. Jesus is in Judea. Now, this is where he was raised, in Nazareth. This is Galilee. There's the Sea of Galilee. Now, in between, splitting them, is Samaria, the enemies. You don't want your enemies in between you like that, do you? The people that you hate. But that's just the way it was. So Jewish people, most Jewish people, almost all Jewish people, instead of going, if they were going to go from Jerusalem, Jesus back home to Nazareth, they wouldn't go the straight route. They would actually cross over. Here's the Jordan River. The Jordan River, go up here and go to Galilee that way, or from Galilee back to Judea, doing that way. Now, that took 6 or 7 days to do that. The straight route, which a normal person would want to do the straight route was about a three-day trip. Most of them would do a six-day trip just so they would not have to look at, talk to, touch, or be near the Samaritans. So do you see a problem here? And Jesus says that he had to go through Samaria. Now, again, 2,000 years ago, that would have been a big, big deal, but I'm trying to help you explain why it's a big deal right now. Now, thinking about what you have to do and what Jesus had to do, let me throw this at you. The irony of what we're going to talk about with you in just a moment and with Jesus is that you have to do it. I mean, it's absolutely right, but it's your choice. Now, that sounds contradictory. It's really not. The irony is that you have to do this if you're going to be right with God, square with God, if you're going to be in God's will, if you're going to do the things that you should do in your life, you have to do it, but the choice is yours. It says Jesus had to go through Samaria. God the Father did not have his arm behind his back or dragging him by his hair or robe through Samaria. He had to do it because it was the right thing to do. He wasn't being forced to do it. And what I'm fixing to challenge you with, you're not going to have to do it. That's a scary thing. But to not do it, you're going to miss God, and you're going to miss a lot more probably. So let's go back and let's ask again, what do you have to do today? Jesus had to go through Samaria. It was a must. It was urgent. It was unavoidable. What in your life this morning, and again, if you've got a piece of paper or pencil, God may speak to you. Some of you know, and you need to write it down. This is just for you. You're not going to turn this in. We're not going to put it on the screen next week. Josh said he absolutely had to stop being mean to Janelle. No, we're not going to put that on the screen. But you write down what God lays on your heart. Some of you know. Maybe God will show you. What do you have to do? What is biblically clear before you? What is the Holy Spirit tweaking your heart about this morning? What is he fixing to tweak it about? What is the right thing morally and ethically for you to do, for you to be square with God? What is it? Let me walk you through some scenarios. I'm gonna list several. See if any of these apply to you. Maybe you're here today and it's time to retire. I'd like to retire. I just need money. Some of you want to retire, you just need to keep working. Maybe you need to move. You've been clinging to Ruston and Lincoln Parish, and it's time God's leading you on. Maybe you want to move, but you need to anchor yourself. This is where you're supposed to be. Sometimes staying is harder than moving. Some of you need to have a hard conversation with somebody. There's somebody at work or somebody in your life, family member or friend, who is messing up. And you're a psycho if you love to have hard conversations, aren't you? I mean, if you wake up in the morning and go, I just can't wait for somebody that I can tell off and straighten out. You're the person people avoid like the flu. Normal people don't like getting in people's grill, but you may have a hard conversation that you need to have with somebody that you're not having. Who do you need to forgive? Now, I'm not talking about restoration. That's a different thing. Who do you need to forgive? Not saying you need to kiss and make up. Who do you need to forgive? Well, I'm not going to forgive them. It's right. I'm not going to. Okay. You compromise your prayer life, your walk with God, and about 1,000 other things. Go ahead. It's your choice. But absolutely, you got to do it. Some of you need to be restored to some people. You not only need to forgive, but you need some restoration. They may be reaching out to you, and you need to reach back. Maybe you just need to say, I'm sorry to somebody. Call them up. Go see them and apologize for what's happened. Maybe it's time to join the church. Maybe you've been sitting and wondering for 5 years, how do I serve God? It's time to start serving here. We need you. Some of you, maybe God's calling you to go serve halfway across the world as a missionary. And you're sitting here holding on when God's saying to go. You don't have to, remember. It's the irony of it. It's your choice. But it's the absolutely right thing to do. Maybe it's time to start giving to your church or to Tech or to Grambling or to the schools. Maybe you have a big gift you can give that could help one of these organizations tremendously. What are you waiting on? If it's right, do it. Maybe it's time to break up with that person. Man, I'm so glad I don't have to date anymore. Good grief. Cindy, you going to heaven? I think I'm done with dating. I'm just going to be a swinging single. I didn't mean that in any... That came out wrong, didn't it? I'm just going to get chubby and be an overweight, happy old man by myself, I guess, in the dog. Well, and we'll pray and go home at this point. Dating is tough, is what I'm trying to tell you, if you're doing it right. Some of you need to break up with the people you're seeing. They're the wrong person for you, and all you do is you continue to stay in it as your heart gets just wrapped more and more in it. Some of you, it's time to get married. You've been dating for 15 years. I don't know if they're the right person or not. Go break up or marry. We'll be here for you either way as a church. Maybe you're doing some things you shouldn't be doing, morally, ethically. You got your hand in the kitty at work. You got your hand on somebody you shouldn't have your hand on. Well, I'm waiting on a sign from God. Here's the sign. Stop. Maybe you're not in something, but you're flirting with it. You're getting close. You know what? Stop it. That's God's will for you. That's what He would have you to do. Stop doing what you're doing. You know, a lot of us, there's something we need to repent of today. And we are involved in things that we shouldn't be. And maybe what everybody else does it. That worked on your mom when you were 4, but you're not 4. No one else in it. Stop it. Repent. Repent means I get it right with God and whoever, and I go a different direction. Maybe, hey, are you listening? Maybe there's something God's laying on your heart today that you need to repent of. Maybe it's time to get baptized. Maybe that's what God's... Join the church. Hey, here's a good one. Maybe it's time to start being the spouse that you need to be. Men, I'm going to start with you. It didn't work real well in the early service. Maybe it'll go better here. Men, how many of you want your wives to be really good wives? I'm looking. Billy, raise your hand. You're about to die laughing. Okay, you guys are so wimpy. It's very discouraging as a man pastoring this church. Women, how many of you want a good husband? Watch him. They man up, don't they? They man up when I tell them to. Okay, here's a piece of advice. Start being the spouse that you should be. That some of you need to do that, or you may not be a spouse much longer. What do you have to do? Maybe it's start being the parent that you need to be. Well, I'm so busy right now, and I got so much going on, and then your kids are going to be grown and gone and messed up. Start being the parent that you need to be right now. That's what God would say to you and me. Hey, in a room this big, people watching on the internet, there's no doubt there's people in here that have never given their life to Christ. Man, that doesn't make you a bad or a rotten person. It just makes you a person in need of Jesus. And if you die without Christ, you're going to spend eternity in hell. You have to come to Jesus. You have to. Why not today? And many of us in here are Christians. Are you telling other people about Jesus? Well, I'm praying about it. What? You're what? If your neighbor's house is on fire, are you going to pray about going and helping them get out of the house? You're goofy. Please don't live next door to me ever. No. True story. Billy Graham tells this story. A man was saved in his crusade, one of his crusades, as an adult. The guy goes back to work on Monday, and he's telling the people, he's so excited, he's telling the people where he works that he became a Christian. One of the guys he works with says, "That's awesome. You know, I'm a Christian too. And, you know, I go to this church, da, 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 da." And the guy stops and it stops the man talking. He goes, "Wait a second." He said, "How long have we worked together?" And the guy said, 23 years. He said, "How long have you been a Christian?" He said, "I've been a Christian about 30 years. He goes, "You mean we've been working together for 23 years and you're a Christian and you have never invited me to church and you've never told me about Jesus? I wonder how many people are going to be in hell someday wondering why you and I didn't do what we have to do and step up and tell them about Jesus." Wow. Maybe that's what God's laying on your heart. Are you writing down maybe what God might be telling you to do? You see, Jesus had a divine appointment. Jesus had a divine assignment. Here's what's so cool. So do you and I. That God has something He is trying to speak to your mind and your heart about that He wants you to do, and you have to do it. It's absolutely right. Let me give you three barriers, three things to watch out for with this. Don't let your current success get in the way. You go, "Man, I want to do what I'm supposed to do, but things are going so well." Look in verse 1. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that He was baptizing and making more disciples than John. That's preacher talk for saying Jesus' church was doing a lot better than John's. I mean, Jesus is hitting a home run. People are getting saved left and right in Jesus' ministry. And how easy it would have been to say, "You know what? Things are going so well here. There's no way God wants me to leave here and go through Samaria." It's through Samaria. But Jesus didn't let his success get in the way. He got up and He did exactly what He was supposed to. Folks, as a pastor, here's what I have seen. In any job, you always want to leave a job when it's hard to leave. You don't want to leave when people are like, "You're going? Really? When are you leaving?" You want to leave when it's hard to leave. And I think about my last two churches. It wasn't like I was super pastor and things were, you know, we weren't baptizing 500 a week. But both churches, things are going well. When I came to Ruston, my church there was going well. One of my struggles was, why would God want me to leave there where things are going well and come here? And I rationalized that. And Cindy helped me work through that because I wanted to stay. Things were going well there. Then I got here and I realized how bad I was needed. I'm joking. But I'm telling you that to say that it can get confusing when you look at success and you go, "Well, why should I leave this?" That you follow God. You do what you have to do. Don't let your success get in the way. Here's the second thing. Don't let the difficulty of it get in the way. Now, this is kind of the flip side of it. What was the difficulty of Jesus going through Samaria? Well, he's got a 3 or 4 day walk. I don't think there was physical violence threatened. I don't think the Samaritans, you know, they were worried about him killing them. But, I mean, do you really want to go somewhere where people are going to make fun of you, call you names, disrespect you? You know, there's a lot of difficulties associated with this. And folks, young people, listen, success is almost always found on the other side of work. It's always going to be harder. And if you're waiting until it's going to be easy to do what God would have you to do, you may never, ever do it. You may never, ever do it. My wife and daughter have started this exercise program in my den where I watch TV. Are you following me? This is not convenient. I don't know what it is. Jazzercise to the 60 music or 70. I don't know what it is. But it's 30 minutes where I'm being tortured. Because it's right in front of my TV. And the other night, Cindy made a profound statement. They just finished, you know, and we're giving them oxygen and we're trying to get their hearts beating again and stuff. And Cindy goes, you know, it's a lot easier to be out of shape. Amen. Amen. And it's a lot easier to not do what God would have you do on the front end. See, here's what happens. You don't do it because it's hard. It's easy right now, and it's going to get terrible later. You do the hard thing right now, what God would have you to do. It's hard right now. It's hard right now, but boy, it pays off in the end. Don't let the difficulty get in the way of you doing what you have to do. Here's the third thing here. Don't let the opinions of others get in your way. Boy, this stops a lot of people. It says Jesus had to go through Samaria. The Jewish people hated the Samaritans. Jesus did now, but his people did. The Samaritans hated the Jewish people. I guarantee you his disciples were saying, Jesus, why are we going through here? They didn't talk to each other. Look at verse 9, a little farther down. Verse 9 says, the woman, he meets this woman at the well, was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Now, this is not biblical. This was Jewish tradition that if a Jewish person drank from a cup that a Samaritan had touched, they were spiritually and morally unclean. That's ridiculous, but that was true. They wouldn't even talk to each other. And so I guarantee you people are going, why is Jesus doing this? Why is Jesus doing this? Jesus, we shouldn't do this. Let's take the wrong route. This is wrong. But you know what? Jesus loved people so much, but Jesus never let other people's discouragements or opinions or prejudice keep him from doing what he had to do. I want to challenge you this morning. You be wise enough to listen to people and have an open heart and open mind. But when God tells you you have to do something, you do it. Well, the experts say, you do it. Well, my family's saying this, if you live at home under your family, you obey your mom and dad. Some of you are adults. You need to do what you're supposed to do. There was a rock group years ago that wanted to cut records. They sent some of their material to Decca, which is a big record label. The Decca people sent them back a letter and said, we don't believe your style of music will work. And by the way, guitar music as a whole is on the way out. The name of that group was the Beatles. How many of you agree that Decca Records, the experts, were like 1,000% wrong? Listen to people, but man, when you know what you have to do, you do it. You do it. Max Lucado is a great preacher and writer. Max Lucado said when his little girl was 6 years old, this has been many, many years ago, she said, Daddy, I want you to quit preaching and quit writing and sell snow cones. Daddy, if you'll sell snow cones, we can be together and it'll be fun. And he said, for a brief moment, I thought, you know what? People hate the preacher. Nobody hates the snow cone salesman. Nobody gets mad at everybody loves the snow cone salesman. And my daughter was right. I can be happy. I can own my own truck. I can do the bell. It would be wonderful. But he said, I thought about it for another second. And I said, sweetie, I can't quit what I'm doing to sell snow cones. Since that time, Max Lucado has gone on, and he's written almost 100 books. 80 million copies are in print around the world. Christianity Today said that he was the pastor to America in the early 2000s. In 2005, Reader's Digest said he was the number one preacher in America. I was 3 on that chart. I'm kidding, if you need to know that. You know, obviously his little daughter was given a sincere opinion, but aren't you glad he didn't listen to her? You see, if you're not careful, you're going to let the opinions of others keep you from doing what you have to do. Dr. Theodore Hesbar was the president of Notre Dame for years. Listen to what he said. He said, we don't make decisions. We don't do what we have to do because it's easy, because it's cheap, because it's popular. We do it because it's right. We do what we have to do because it's the right thing to do. Let me give you one last thought on this. The stakes are extremely high. The stakes here are just monumentally high. The story goes on that we're going to see in the weeks ahead. Because Jesus did what he had to do. He goes through Samaria. And he bumps into a woman that most people would have considered a nobody. Jesus leads her to eternal life right then and there. She's so excited, she goes back to her village. People get saved in her village because of her testimony. She brings them to Jesus and Jesus to them. Jesus ends up staying 4 or 5 days in the village. Probably almost everybody in the community becomes Christians. And he disciples them and trains them. And it'll be wonderful someday in heaven when we see the impact that that one decision of going through Samaria had on all of us. We're telling the story today because Jesus did what he had to do. You do not know the impact of you not doing what you have to do. Are you doing it? I can tell you, if you don't, you go through life not doing what you have to do, you will train wreck your life, your family, your friends, your joy. On the flip side of that, if you will do what you have to do, that is how you're going to find the life and the success that you're looking for. Peter Drucker was a great management expert. Here's what he said about a great business. This would apply to a great person or a great church. He said, anytime you see a great organization, we'll say even a great person, you know at some point somebody made the courageous, right, and hard decisions. They did what they had to do. Every great organization, every great life is built on people that stepped out and did what they had to do. What about you? Rune Arledge was a great ABC executive. It was over their sports department and then over the whole ABC at one point. And in the peak of his career, he was asked one time what he wanted on his tombstone. Always an interesting question. Here's what he said. He said, I want on my tombstone that I did something important. That I did something important. Can I tell you today how to do something important? You do what you have to do. What God is showing you this morning, what God may show you this week, what God's going to show you if you're lucky enough to live in the days ahead, if you will go through life doing the things that you have to do that are absolutely right and of God, you die someday, friend, I promise you, you will live a life that did important things. The question is, will we? Let's pray. This morning, if you're a Christian, I would challenge you. I would challenge you to examine what God's saying to you and have the courage to do it. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you're unsure if you're a Christian, listen, God is, you have to give your life to Christ if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have a relationship with Jesus here. You have to do that. If you're ready to do that, pray with me. Pray with me and just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I want to repent of my sins. And Jesus, I believe you're God's Son and that you died and arose for me. Jesus, come into my heart. And I ask you to save me today, Jesus. I surrender my life to you. Let me have your attention. We're going to stand in just a minute to give you an opportunity to respond to what God said to you. What do you have to do? Maybe you just prayed and asked Jesus into your life, or you're ready to do that. You can certainly talk to one of our ministers after church, or you can come when we stand this morning and do business with God. Maybe you'd like to join the church. You can do that after church. Or you can come this morning and do that. If God's telling you to do that, you need to do it. Christian, maybe you don't know today exactly what God's saying. You just keep focused on Him, ask Him to show you He will. Some of you know what you have to do. You know what you have to do. I want you to do it this morning. Do it where you're standing. Come pray with a minister. Come get on your knees or get on your face before God and say, God, I'll do it, whatever it is.